This is the state of things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Phoebe Judge. In 2012, a man stormed into the home of a Buncombe County woman, put her in a chokehold, and raped her repeatedly. After the assault, the woman had the DNA of her attacker collected in a hospital. But today, 3 years later, the genetic material hasn't been fully tested. This incident is not exceptional. Rape kits with DNA evidence from sexual assaults are sitting untested in crime labs for extended periods of time. And in other cases, these kits are simply being abandoned in police evidence rooms with no plans to test them. Reporter Tanya Maxwell of the Asheville Citizen-Times interviewed the victim in Buncombe County and wrote a report about the state of forensic testing in Western North Carolina. Welcome, Tanya.
Good morning, Phoebe. Afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Can you tell us about the victim, who you call Lori in the article, and the hours she spent after the attack?
I met Lori through an organization locally here in Asheville called Our Voice, which is involved with rape crisis counseling, and spoke with her for quite a while in their office. Lori's account was profound. I spent quite a bit of time talking with her, and she shared with me not only some police documentation of that encounter, but also the medical records in which she went immediately to Mission Hospital to be evaluated by a nurse who's specially trained in collecting that forensic information. Something that I found particularly interesting about Lori and also in talking with Our Voice is I think a lot of their clients, they would say they have different reactions to that kind of trauma. Some individuals who have a kit taken maybe don't want to think about it again. They've done that. They want to try to move on with their lives, or, you know, a host of different reactions. Lori, however, showed me a series of emails in which she has been advocating very strongly for her kit to get it tested. And we are now almost exactly 3 years away from her assault, and still no DNA, if that can be pulled out of that kit, has come forward.
You know, I spoke with State Crime Lab Director John Byrd last year. Here's what he has to say about the buildup of untested materials.
We only have 124 scientists to cover the 100 counties of this state. There are 10 million people in this state.
That was State Crime Lab Director John Byrd talking about the buildup of untested materials in the state, including untested rape kits. So we hear about the fact that there's just understaffed, but what are some of the other reasons for buildups in these forensic labs?
The issue certainly comes down to money, or at least that's one aspect of it, and that can be almost any issue you're talking about. Funding is always a problem. One of the interesting things here in North Carolina, and if you've ever taken a drive from Western North Carolina to Raleigh, I mean, that is a very long drive. In 2009, I think it was, the Supreme Court said that if you are a defendant in a case that has forensic evidence, you have a right to question that forensic technician. Now, most of the cases are evaluated in Raleigh at the state crime lab. And so if you want to question at trial your forensic technician, that is a very long drive for those folks to get out here to Buncombe County or a Henderson County or a Cherokee County. So a lot of those folks spend more time, in fact, driving and waiting for the case in the courthouse versus actually their time on the stand. I think it's 10% is what they would actually spend on the stand in testimony.
So they're on the road, they're waiting, and all the while new evidence is coming into the state crime labs, and it's not getting tested because there's just no one in the building to test it.
Exactly. And another issue, there's a bill that's moving through the state house right now. It seems like it might be a little bit stalled out, and that is to get some of, in North Carolina, our folks, those scientists, a higher pay raise. It would be about 10% across the board. And there's been some Department of Justice looks compared to some neighboring states. Not funding those folks as well. So there are better opportunities in other places.
And what's interesting, when you think about backlogs, computer backlogs, or things, you think about things that you can't see. But what we're dealing with here in these state crime labs is actual evidence, mountains of evidence that you can walk in and absolutely view you know, you can just visually see how bad the situation is. Last year, I spoke with Jessica Smith from the UNC School of Government. She had visited the state crime lab in Raleigh, and here's what she saw.
And we went into the evidence locker, and we were surrounded by tens of thousands of pieces of untested evidence. There were refrigerators along the wall filled with biological evidence. There were shelving units as far as the eye could see filled with envelopes of material waiting to be tested. These are impaired driving cases. These are murder cases. These are rape cases. These are important cases for us to be able to resolve. And while we all had heard about the backlog, the ocular proof of standing there being surrounded by all that evidence was stunning.
That was Jessica Smith from the UNC School of Government talking about a visit to the state crime lab in Raleigh. Tanya, can you talk about how big of an issue this is across the state and in Western North Carolina?
You know, if I can say something first, that's interesting here in North Carolina, and in some of these states, there's not a particular procedure to get these rape kits tested. And something that I would add to your clip that you just played is I think a lot of advocates, I've certainly heard them say that, you know, they're not just rape kits. There's a person behind every single one of those rape kits. What we did came out of a USA Today investigation, and there were certainly some supporting players, but that was led by Steve Riley of USA Today. And that showed nationwide that of the jurisdictions they polled, there were 70,000 kits that have not been tested. Now, in North Carolina, we have kind of an interesting little microcosm of that. That investigation did not poll every single jurisdiction. There are about 18,000 jurisdictions nationwide. And in North Carolina, we did not also pull every single jurisdiction, but we have, for example, Charlotte Mecklenburg is showing about 800 untested kits. Asheville and Buncombe County, where Asheville lies, it shows about 230 when you put those two jurisdictions together. The larger investigation pulled also Greensboro, and Greensboro is housed in Guilford County, and Guilford County is, I think, the third largest county in the state of North Carolina, and neither of those jurisdictions could produce records. I can tell you, if you're interested a little about what I thought was interesting here in Buncombe and Asheville, which I think is reflects what's going on largely in the state. And one of those issues is the state crime lab actually, the tests by their policy that they are interested in testing, the kits that they're interested in testing are those in which contact is in dispute. Perhaps you have a date rape situation, and one party is saying that contact happened in an aggressive and an assaultive kind of way. The other party was saying it's consensual. In a rape kit testing situation of that nature, you can perhaps the kit itself, the result, can determine if that contact happened at all. Those are the kinds of cases that the state wants to test. I think that advocates would say that all kits need to be tested because they can perhaps point to some patterns of behavior in folks who are suspected of these crimes.
What steps are being made to improve how these kits are handled in North Carolina?
Well, I can tell you what's happening here in the Western District, and that is we're probably about 2 years out, give or take, from having a crime lab here. And that crime lab would be our own full-service crime lab that would be placed in Henderson County. It could process DNA. We have a much smaller crime lab right now in Asheville. It cannot process DNA, among other things. And the idea of that is it would take the burden off of not only the Raleigh lab, but allow those folks to travel in a more narrow circle. They wouldn't have to come clear out to the Western counties, which is certainly a long haul. And I believe Greensboro is looking at its own situation in reference to having its own regional full-service crime lab.
And I just wonder, you know, there also must be, is anyone talking about, let's, if we're going to make these analysts come all the way to and sit, let's make sure that once they get there, they're not going to be sitting in the waiting room all day waiting to get up on the stand. Let's get them in and out in a timely manner.
You know, I've not necessarily heard those types of conversations, but I've been in enough courtrooms and courtroom hearings to know that things take longer. I think that generally prosecutors and defense attorneys try to give witnesses some idea of how much time it'll be before they take the stand. But the witnesses that come before, you know, maybe they go much longer, they go shorter. You know, there are a host of factors that can change the time frame of any given single trial.
Tonya Maxwell is an investigative reporter for the Asheville Citizen Times. You can find a link to her article on our website, stateofthings.org. Thanks very much, Tonya.
Thank you, Phoebe.
Just ahead, an artistic performance about what is cultivated around the clothesline. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.